Hey there, St. Andrew's family. It's Pastor Matt back with you again, and we are still missing Pastor Ethan for good reason. The little Hunter was born, cute little guy, and he's healthy. Mom's healthy. But in the meantime, we're trying to let Pastor Ethan have some time with his dear family away from work. So that's awesome. So very fortunate today to have a friend of mine, Pastor Phil Allman, and he is out at St. John's and Pentatonica, Illinois. Did I say that right?
So yeah, Pecatonica, close.
Pecatonica. Okay. You said you're close to Rockford.
Yep, about 20 minutes west.
Right on. Now, how long have you been pastor there at St. John's?
About 3.5 years now.
Okay. And how long have you been a pastor in general here?
9 years.
9 years, right on, man. Very good, very good. Well, I appreciate you being willing to jump on here with me, Phil, as we're talking about the book of Romans. And when I asked you to, I sent you a text to ask you to do this, and the first thing you said was, there's a whole lot of ways we can go with this passage from Romans 12, and I couldn't agree more. You've been working with Romans for a little while this summer and doing some more stuff on it. So just kind of tell me a little bit about what your take on Romans is in general.
So Romans, it is a, people like to say, like, it is one of the books that is almost like, if you can call it, determine like a Lutheran book. You think Martin Luther, he really hit Romans and Galatians really hard.
Yeah.
And there's just a lot of recollection on that. And you almost have to think, why was it hit so hard? Because people say, well, these writings of Paul, I mean, they're still practically applied in today's context in every way, in many ways.
Absolutely.
Because just last week, I mean, it's just, you go all the way back to Romans 10, where it says, for those who call upon the name of the Lord, what's the result? They shall be saved. Now, I had to say, it's right. Not universal salvation, because if you just read that without the context of Scripture, you can say, oh, once saved, always saved.
Yeah, yeah.
I can do anything I want then.
Somehow it's based upon me calling out to the Lord. Yeah, yeah,
then,
totally.
Then last week, then they jumped to Romans 11, and it kind of skipped around, like verses 1 through 2, 11 through 12, and so on. So sometimes you think, why does the lectionary do that? Well, you look at all these other texts, and I wouldn't say it's filler text, but you can't preach on everything in that. But that doesn't mean can't. But then at last week, it talked about conformity. Are you conformed to the world, or are you conformed to Christ?
Mm-hmm.
And it tied directly back Romans 10, and even back earlier in Romans, I said, we have all been called with a purpose. You think faithful obedience is what I started on. That might have been all the way back in June, even, or July, okay, whenever that was. And you think, where do we learn of faithful obedience? What's written on our hearts? The commandments.
Yeah.
So as I'm planning out my sermons month to month, I try to get a month or two ahead. So my sermon hymn will always try to reflect that theme as best as it can. And sometimes I'll include that, some tidbits of that sermon hymn. Sometimes I won't. I have different ways of how my sermon, like sermon types, I guess you'd call it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sometimes it's more applicable with just stories. Sometimes it's more tying in all of the text. Sometimes it's tying more of the hymns. Sometimes it's just tying in what's going on in today's world.
Well, absolutely. That's kind of the beauty of the scriptures, is there's different ways to apply them. But I like what you were saying about, I'm going to go back. We're going to go back to the Ten Commandments. I was talking about obedience. So when we think of obedience, there's a lot that the Old Testament is going to teach to us, and a lot of ways the Old Testament is going to point us forward to Jesus. And that's a really beautiful thing when you think about it. And I think people really appreciate that they get to make these connections, that we're allowed to make these connections, we're called to make these connections between the Old Testament and the New Testament. When we're thinking about the book of Romans, and especially Romans 12, I was really trying to zero in on which way to go with this, because like you said, there's you could take one of these verses or one of these admonitions out of there. Hate evil, love what is good. Don't overcome evil. don't be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. There's love one another with brotherly affection. There's live in harmony with one another. There's so many commands. And I know this passage for me, what I've kind of been struggling with is it's very law oriented. I mean, it's beautiful, right? But it's very law oriented. And so I think the challenge for me this week has been kind of diving in to the law, not being afraid of it, but diving into it. But then, you know, how do we bring the love of Christ, the gospel of Christ into the midst of a very like admonition type passage? So I don't know. What are some of your thoughts?
So I tied in the longest part was 12 through 18. It's a big section.
Mm-hmm.
And really, you think where there's law, there's gospel. So I even think with the commandments, if you realize and recognize what you need to do, it should always point you to Christ. So that's why, like, my sermon title for this Sunday is Hitting the Mark, Teaching, Practice, and Action.
Okay.
And you think hitting the mark, you think several areas, like if you are into archery, if you're into shooting mm-hmm. a gun, if you're into axe throwing, if you're into anything that requires a target, or even go to baseball, you think you always want to hit the strike zone.
Yeah.
You think, what do you need to do? And it's the same thing with scripture. How do you hit the point of scripture? You need to be taught. But in mm-hmm. teaching, it's very easy to be stubborn, because Romans 12, the earlier part, or maybe it's Romans, it talks about ignorance and stubbornness. Mm-hmm. Before it was like we kind of skip over that part. But you think if you're stubborn when being taught, you always like to think, like, sometimes if you're an athlete, if you're shooting free throws, hitting the mark of, like, you know where to hit it and stuff. If somebody's trying to give you advice through their expertise, not saying that they know more because they're older than you, but because they might have different approaches, you have to humble yourself. And Paul talks about, you think, the fruits of the Spirit. You think, without humility, can you adequately be taught? Then you That's can't just, thing. Now you could be taught, but then can you just not practice? Can you not practice what you're told? Like, can you just, for anybody who's ever tried archery or going to the gun range, people who have practiced make it look really easy, but you take it and you go and you miss the mark.
Right.
Same with
right.
scripture. You think, like, if you don't know the basics, say I've been doing a confessional study. They're trying to grow it within our district, potentially, not just demographically.
Mm-hmm.
But you think if you don't understand the concept of original sin, how can you hit the mark of understanding scripture? And you think last week it was knowledge and wisdom. So with practice through what you're taught, you grow in knowledge and wisdom and discernment.
Mm-hmm.
But now you just have two parts. If you're taught and you're practicing, you're good at something, you still need to put it into action. You still need to utilize it. I've been talking about our grace
Absolutely.
Gifts that we've been given, our time and our talents.
Mm-hmm.
If you sit on the sideline, really, you're not. Are you truly honoring God?
Yeah.
And that's why I said it all goes into the commandments, because in order to better yourself, you need to humble yourself. You think in order to love, you need to set your pride aside. You need to remind yourself, like, just because they did it first doesn't mean you need to do it back. Mm-hmm. You think, especially that rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer is another core section of that before it just jumps into the hospitality. And you think, how often does our hope get bashed because of what we see around? And people say, I just can't be patient because I'm going through so much. Well, you are going through. How about this example? I ran into this person and they lost their child because of childhood cancer.
Ugh.
And they're continuing on. You say, your life is hard. But you say, be patient. And you think, we hear about end times type stuff. He's like, patient mm-hmm. in tribulation. We're going to go through the cost of discipleship. It's not easy. We've heard that even in the past couple of months.
Mm-hmm,
and in prayer, go to the Lord in prayers. Matthew, it says, for all those who call upon my name, you think, how do you call upon his name? You pray.
Yeah.
And it just really, it all ties into the commandments. It's like, never be wise in your own sight. And that's where I kind of tie into Just even like Matthew 16, lift high the cross, is our sermon hymn. But Matthew 16 says, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me.
Right.
For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it.
Yeah.
And there's simple words within that, but they have a big context. Like last week you heard the word binding and loosing.
Mm-hmm.
So you think, what is that? What do those mean? You have to get into text, and that's why sometimes I say all pastors have a variety of commentary. Sometimes I'm like, what do these mean?
Yeah.
Now, I look at the text first, and then I go into the commentaries.
Well, absolutely. And that's part of the challenge too. I think that's probably worth saying. It's good for me. I kind of – you look at the texts, and then when I realize – a lot of times you realize there's a word that might mean a little something different in the original. So I end up, you know, that's when I kind of go and maybe start translating a little bit from the Greek or the Hebrew, and trying to get into some of the I don't know, the feel of things is different sometimes in the original language. So it's kind of what's the sense of the word might be a little different, or maybe it's hard to describe in English. And then I love going to some of the commentaries as well. For me this week, the thing that struck me, Phil, as I've been thinking about this, is I'm kind of leveraging the gospel account where Jesus is so clear, right? Like, I'm going to be delivered in the hands of sinful men. They're going to kill me. And on the third day, I'm going to rise again. And then, of course, Peter's response is like, don't say that. You know, don't, Jesus, don't say that.
And he had just said, Peter, on you, I'll build the rock last week.
That's right. You just said that. That's right. That's the bizarre thing. That was telling him, get behind me, Satan, right? And I think the thing that struck me about that, it was, you know, we can be upset with Peter or say, how could you do this? At the same time, I keep thinking I would have done the same thing. Like, it's so weird. What Jesus is talking about is so weird. And so I'm kind of leveraging that into talking about some of the admonitions to Christian community. Like, Christian community is weird. Like, we're asked to be weirdly generous. We're asked to be weirdly welcoming. Like, you know, don't look down on people.
Like, that's where sometimes you can get caught in the law. It's written in our hearts, but then you think all these things that Paul is talking about are taught in the commandments if you flesh them out. Like, you go into Proverbs, you flesh out the commandments, and then you go back to the parables of Jesus. Some we understand more than others. You think Jesus is teaching these very things in his parables, or even the calling of the disciples, let love be genuine. You think, let no distinction be between your neighbor and stuff. He's just like, and then Paul comes writing on this stuff, and then you think Luther emphasizes, why is Luther emphasizing, why is he hit Romans and Galatians so hard and stuff? I mean,
right.
There's just a lot to it.
Yeah, Romans seems like such the positive thing, and then Galatians seems like the negative example. And it's kind of cool that he uses both those. They're both equally powerful as he does that. But no,
hearing is a big Romans thing. It's like,
right,
faithful obedience. If you don't have faithful obedience, I mean, it's what was it Matthew talks about for those who are deaf? You think with the parable of the sower, I think we talked about earlier in the lectionary too.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to grow deaf.
Yeah, isn't that wild? It's wild the way it's talked about. But I'm excited to hear what, you know, you end up preaching on and how you end up handling that, and I'm still kind of fleshing out the sermon this week. But I think hitting on the weirdness of Christian community, and then I think I'm going to talk about that in terms of just, well, we mess things up so bad, but fortunately we have this weirdness in Christ, this weird kind of love from Christ that is just so inexplicable, and kind of get into some of the word storge is kind of that familial type of love, you know, and get into that. So that's kind of where I think I'm headed, but I love your thoughts on Romans and obedience and where does that come from? And let's push all the way back to the roots of this. And I think when we understand the law of God, we have to ask the question, well, what is the heart of God? Why does God care about these things? Well, it's because he loves us. He wants us to love one another. And it's such a cool thing. So very good, man. Well, I tell you what, let me say a prayer here, Phil, for you and for me this weekend, and we'll get going. Lord God, I thank you so much for my brother Phil. I thank you for his love for you and his congregation. I ask that you bless St. John out there. And Lord, we ask that you would be with him as he prepares once again to preach to his people. Thank you for a faithful servant like him who brings the gospel to his people day in and day out. Be with me as I preach here at St. Andrews, and bless us as we take on the great joy and challenge of preaching. And of course, Lord, the greatest is which means we simply follow you and are led by the Holy Spirit. So guide us and direct us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks so much, brother. Take care.
You're welcome.